Good morning, everyone. I hope you all have been behaving yourselves. If you have been, I'm glad, because I need to be, somebody to be behaving themselves. I have a problem sometimes with that. I'm going to ask you to find any. I'm going to read several passages of Scripture, but I'm going to ask you to find in your Bible, probably Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, because that's where I'm going to finish up, and that's probably, the main passage of Scripture for this morning. See if I can read this. And I'm going to begin reading with some verses from Psalms and Deuteronomy in different places, so just bear with me. I'm going to be speaking to you about the secret things. How many of you know there's secret things? There's secret things in your life? Anybody have any secrets they're trying to keep? There's a lot of things we don't want to confess, right? We won't go bragging about things that are we're trying to keep secret, and most all of us have some secret things. But in God's case, we want to talk about the things that in His Word that He calls the secret things, and the things that we can learn from that so they won't be secret to us anymore, but we can be reminded. Amen? Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." That's our text this morning, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever. So God has some things in His Word that He wants to reveal to us, that we need to know. And those things belong to us. Amen? And they belong to us because they're a gift from Him. He wants us to have them, because He wants us to enjoy them, and He wants us to enjoy life. You've heard me say, in fact, I preached about this, I think the last time I preached here, I preached on our best friend. The best friend that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ, it's God. He's the best friend you can have. There is not any other, and it doesn't mean we don't need to have friends here. We need to have friends here, but He's here too. Because in Him we live, and in His presence we live and move and have our being. There is no place we can go in this world and go from the presence, or anywhere that we can go and be away from the presence of God. And that may sound like a bad thing to some people, but that's really one of the best things that can ever happen to you. Because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He knows more about us than anybody else, and He loves us anyway. Can I say that? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The greatest gift than anyone could pay for our sins, and somebody had to pay for our sins because we couldn't pay for them. And we couldn't come into the presence of God without Him doing something so that we could become not just a believer or a religious person, but I want you to think about this, so that God might become our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. Do you understand what that means? Our Heavenly Father. That means you're welcome into your Father's presence. Now, some people grew up with in a bad relationship with their parents or with their father or whatever, and so they may not really have a good understanding of what a good father is. But other people have grown up with a good father, and a father that took care of them, provided for them, and loved them, and did just about anything and everything he could for them. And that's the kind of father our Heavenly Father is. He wants His best for you, but not only He wants His best for you, He wants your best for you. In other words, if your best is in the things that you need and require are legitimate, your Heavenly Father wants to provide those for you, or for me, or for us. Isn't that good? And we have a Heavenly Father that's like that. And there is not anything impossible for Him. He can do anything. He can provide anything. And that's the kind of Heavenly Father we have. Amen? And that's why He wants us to come and talk to Him and speak to Him. Prayer is not some kind of religious thing that we do just to be religious or just to make us feel good. Prayer is something where that we can come literally before our Father's throne, and you can do that anywhere you are because He's everywhere. And He says to those of us that put our faith and trust in Him, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to say that. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Say it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's your Heavenly Father. Amen? So you don't have to worry about Him getting so mad at you or upset with you or whatever that He runs off and leaves you and you're alone. He will always provide for us. Those of us who have put our faith and trust in Him, He will always provide for us. And we can come to Him and talk to Him anytime we want to. So, and we need to. And we should also praise Him and thank Him for what He's done for us. So Psalms 29:25 is our key verse this morning. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do the words of this law. That we may do the things that please Him, because we want to please the Heavenly Father that pleases us. Amen? Psalms 25:14, the secret of the Lord, is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. So the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And this fear doesn't mean that we run away and hide and don't want to come into His presence. It means that we respect Him. We have a respect for Him. We believe that He is holy. We believe that He is God. We want to draw near to Him, not just because we can get things out of Him. It's sometimes today in religion and in churches and in things and issues that we hear over television and whatever, it seems like everybody's preaching, or not everybody, but a lot of people are preaching a message just so they can come to God to get something out of Him. I need this or I need that, so I'm going to go to God. And now God wants us to ask. He says we have not because we ask not. Doesn't that what the Word say? You have not because you ask not. So He wants us to ask. But He wants us to ask in wisdom and knowledge and not in foolish and stupidity. I would love to have an airplane. A jet. A Learjet, probably. Okay? I'm a commercial pilot, instrument rated, multi-engine rated. I have all of that. I was working on my instructor's license whenever my GI Bill run out. So I'd love to have an airplane, but I'm not going to ask Him for one because I don't need it. As a matter of fact, if I did have one, I couldn't afford it. because they're expensive. So it doesn't mean that we come and ask to talk to him about foolish things, because he doesn't answer foolish prayers. But he will if you have a need. He knows about it. And he will answer your prayer request if you ask him. Now, he doesn't always answer them just like that. Sometimes there's some reason why, and maybe a lot of times we don't really understand. But sometimes we can ask, and we don't receive it right away, but if we'll hold on and wait, it's legitimate, and it's something that he wants to take care of in our lives, then he will take care of it, but he will take care of it in his time. So that is what the Bible calls a trial of our faith, which is much more precious than gold, though it be tried with fire. So as a Christian, if our faith is not tried, it can't be strengthened. And if we want a strong faith so that we can believe God for anything and everything that we need, then that faith is going to be tried. And sometimes I don't like this word. Patience. How many of you love to be patient? Especially when you're in a situation that needs to be taken care of right away. So our patience is tried because our faith is tried and we're tested. And God is saying to us as we go through our circumstances and the situations of life, will you trust me? Will you just trust me? And sometimes that's all he needs us to know. That we trust him. That we can wait patiently for him and our faith can be tried and we hang on. And we endure. Because our faith is going to be tried. The Bible says here, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. So that fear is a patient awesomeness waiting on God. And he says he will show us his covenant. Psalms 31:19 says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear you," or thee, "which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee." You hear me? Hear? Trust in him. "Has wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Thou, verse 20 of Psalms 31, "thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence." Amen. "From the pride of man, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Amen. That's for you. That's one of the things he's provided for you. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Psalm 64:1. I know I'm going to get to Matthew in a minute. Hey, just hang on. Psalm 64:1. "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked and from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity." How many of us need that? You need God to hear your prayers. Amen? He says he will. One of his other things that he says is that, "I will hear you when you call on me." Amen? That's a wonderful gift that you have from, that we have from God. Preserve my life from fear of the enemies, and hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. So one of the things that we don't understand right away after we become Christians, I thank God for this, is that we're actually babes in Christ. When we first become Christians, we're babes in Christ. We have to grow. How do we grow? By prayer. Faith comes by hearing, by the Word of God. By the Word of God we grow. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, the Bible tells us as Christians. Amen? So we're in a growing process. And that growing is a part of our growing in our relationship with Him. We need to get to know Him. I didn't know when I was first saved just about how much God loved me. That we may know the love of Christ. The Bible says that we may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. How do you know something that passes knowledge? It's God's knowledge. That's how we know. It's God's knowledge. So that's how we grow in the grace and grow in grace. We need to know more and more and more about just how much God loves us, because the enemy, after we become Christians, that's what I was about to say here, is a lot of us in one of these verses, passages of Scripture, keep me from the fear of the enemy. Keep me, help me to know and to understand that you're greater than the enemy is. You can take care of any and every situation. You may not take care of it the way I want you to, and when I want you to, but I know you can take care of it, and you're going to take care of it, because I'm growing in the love and the knowledge of my relationship with you. And so as I'm walking with you, and as I'm growing in my grace and in my knowledge of you, then I begin to become more like you, and I begin to become to love you more, so I grow in the grace, in the love and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because as I was going to say, and if I didn't say this, most Christians don't know for a little while that you just run head on when you become a Christian. And you were translated out of the kingdom of power of God, I mean out of the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of God, that you just become the devil's number one enemy. And you don't know it yet because God, some of you do because you've been Christians long enough to know, but when you first become a Christian, you don't know just about how much trouble you run into here. Because the devil has become your enemy, and now he's against you, and he's going to do everything that he can do to defeat you and to keep you from trusting and believing in God. And that's where the fight is and the battle is. It's a battle of faith. It's will you trust me or not? You understand that? And we grow, and we put on the whole armor of God, and we put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith, and all of these things. That's something that we have to do after we become Christians, so we can understand where this is coming from and how to deal with it. You see, one of the things that the enemy does, he cannot charge us before God like he could in Job's day, when he come before the presence of God, and God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? What a good man he is! What he does! How?" And the devil said, "Yeah, he's good. Who wouldn't be? You put a shield around him. Just let me have him." You remember that? Did you read that? Just lift your shield and let me have him. And we'll see how much he loves you. And all of the things. So the Lord said, because he knew he was going to take care of him, And that Job is going to learn a lot of things through this experience that he was going to go through. And not only that, he was going to write all of these things down in his book we call Job that's in the Bible, which if you haven't read, you need to go read through it because you can learn a lot of things from that. Amen. But if you don't learn anything else from all of that is that God was with Job. God didn't leave him. He just let the enemy do whatever he wanted to do with him, but God was with him all the time, protecting him, taking care of him. God couldn't kill him. He said, you can't take his life. Isn't that right? So we learn, one of the first things we need to learn is that we come into what is called spiritual warfare. And that's the reason the Bible tells us to desire, and God tells us in His Word, desire the sincere milk of the Word so that we might grow thereby. Because we need to grow, and then we need to learn how to put on the armor of God, and we need to learn how to trust Him. Psalms 91:1, I want to read this one to you. Psalms 91:1, here's another promise, another thing. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Can I share this with you? One of the most precious things is that God has translated us. When we said, I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I'm going to believe that God raised him from the dead. And he says, if I do that, I'm going to be saved. At that instant, I don't care if you were in church or wherever you were, driving your car or in a beer joint. If you decided right then, I need God in my life, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God says he saves you. I want you to know, at that instant, when he translated us out from the kingdom and power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, what did he do? It says right here what he did. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. So he put us in the secret place of the Most High. He puts you in the secret place of the Most High. You're in the secret place of the Most High. Boy. You thought you just was on this earth. No, you're in the secret place. The real you, not just your body, but your spirit. You're the you, the person that lives in this body and looks out these two windows we call eyes. That you, your spirit, man. That's who you are. You're a spirit. God is a spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So our worship comes from our spirit because we're in the secret place in our spirit and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? That's where we are. We don't have to wait to get there. If we're Christians, we're already there. When we pass away, I tell people in all of the many funerals that I've done over the years, what we see here in the remains of the casket is just the tent. This is just where they used to live. That's not them. Are you with me? To be absent from the body is to be to us that are Christians in the secret place of the Most High and under the shadow of His wing. When our spirit departs from this body, this earth suit, we don't need it anymore. We only have an earth suit so people can know us down here. If you didn't have that earth suit on, I wouldn't even know you were here. Are you with me? This is tremendously important that we understand these things because if we don't understand these things, when the enemy comes, like he did to Job, and try to charge him before God, see, the enemy, I want you to get this. The enemy can't charge you with anything except right here in your own mind. In our own minds, if we can get start believing the things, well, you did this and you did that. How can you be a son of God? So what is that? What is that? What's given me that? What's putting that in our minds? Or whatever, anything that wants us to deny the Lord in our relationship with Him, what puts that in our minds? The enemy does, because that's a fight of faith. And I tell him, and you can tell him this too if you want to, because it's true. Get away from me. You're not talking about me. You're talking about a dead man. What do you mean you're talking about a dead man? I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Right now, what you see is, I am, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Don't be talking about the old man. Who wants to talk about a dead man? Are you with me? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the same is true of you. And God, you're in the secret place of the Most High. Wow. You're in the shadow of His wings. You're in the shadow, you're in His presence, whether you like it or not. Where can I go from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says? If I dwell in the deepest part of the ocean, you're there. If I go to the furthest part of the distance of the sky, you're there. I can't go anywhere from your presence. And that's true of everybody, actually, but especially of those of us that know Him, because there is no place you can go where God isn't. You with me? So, Psalms 91, verse 2, I will say then, see, we need to say this. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Lord, you're my refuge. I'm not going to give in to this fear. You're my refuge. You're my shield. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. You're my God. In you will I trust. Amen? That's how we handle those doubts and fears and things that come. Surely He will, verse 3, surely. Everybody say surely. That's not surely. Some of us say that like it's surely. That's surely. That means I'm sure. I have no doubt. Amen. He will deliver you, thee, King James Version, thee. He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Amen. When the fowler, the evil one, comes and tries to snare you and take you and get you down and knock you down, and even when he does, if he does, and sometimes he does, because we're not perfect. I don't want to ask that question. I don't want you to raise your hand. He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He wants to take care of you. He wants to watch over you. If you read in the New Testament, and I'm about ready to get over there here, and I'm not going to take up much more time, but if you get in the New Testament and you see what God did when He was here on this earth, you say, was He here on this earth? Yes, He was here on this earth. In the form of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He sent to become one of us, so He can say, one of the things He can say, is he just doesn't know all about our problems and troubles and difficulties and what life is all about and all of the things of having to make a living and how to pay bills and how to... He doesn't just say all of that to say, so, see, I told you so because I'm God. He experienced all of it, came down here and went through it as God. The Bible says, being tested in Hebrews, being tested as all points as we are, yet without sin. He experienced all of the things, so he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When you're hurting, when you're doubting, when fear is trying to rise up, and when problems are coming, and the enemy is messing with your children, or messing with your marriage, or messing with your home, or messing with your finances, or any of these things, and he knows exactly how you feel and what you're going through, and he's able to take care of it. And one of the ways that he takes care of it, and one of the most important ways he takes care of it, is he lets you know, hey, I'm right here, I know what's going on, and I've got this thing. Amen? And I want to say sometimes, well, why haven't you taken care of it? Because I'm impatient. Amen? And I don't like the situation that I'm in. Or the situation that's going on with my finances, or the situation that's going on with my job, or the situation that's going on with my children. But I've learned all of these things is I do the best I can. I lift up all of these things. What does he say? Casting all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. Don't worry about anything, he says. Pray about everything in prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So when I cast that load, I just say, enemy, you devil, go talk to the Lord about this. I cast all of my cares upon him. And you know he's taking care of all of my children, all of my grandchildren, all my great children. And if he hasn't yet, he is going to. You know why? Because he loves them more than I do. And I'm praying for them. Amen? And I'm praying for you too, incidentally. You're on my prayer list. I lift up all of the people that I know, whom I know and can do know, and have a lot of the names of members of this, maybe just about all of them are on. My prayer list is like 7 or 8 pages long. I have to go read it to remember who all's on it. And I say every morning when I pray for those that are lost, that I know that have never turned their lives over to God, and I pray for them and say, Lord, I pray that you would grant them repentance to the acknowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him and his will. That's his word. I pray his word. And for those that are saved and that know the Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would grant that they would be strengthened with might in their innermost being by the Spirit of the Lord, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that they may, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. The reason I can quote all that is because I pray all of that. If you use it, you won't forget it. And that's the sword of the Spirit, by the way, which is the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit. He tells us all to do that. That's something we have to do. Oh, my goodness. I just get excited about all this. Amen? Oh, Psalms 139:14. Just about finished. I will praise thee. How many of you sometimes just find yourself at home or wherever you are, and all of a sudden it just comes on you to just praise the Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you. You're just so good. Praise your holy name. Thank you. I will praise you. Why? Because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made? Yeah. Amen. Are you fearfully and wonderfully made? There is nobody else like you. And God created you specially for Him. Amen. And then also I praise Him because marvelous are thy works. Don't you think God's work is marvelous? That He does good things? Wow! I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are His works for me, and I know that right well. Amen. My substance was not hid from thee, from the Lord, when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. The Lord says to Jeremiah, and He's told me, He said, I knew you before you were ever even made. I knew you while you were being created in your mother's womb. Wow. That's to know somebody. Amen? Amen. That's what He told Jeremiah. I knew you before you were ever born. I created you. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read these verses and we're going to close. Amen? Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. But you, He's talking to His disciples and those believers that belong to Him, that were with Him at this time. And there was 5,000 and 10,000 people with Him at one time. I was going to tell you, did He feed people? Yeah. Did it take a lot? Well, one time all it took was a little loaf and two or three fish, little fish, and He fed 5,000, 10,000. Well, you know, He's not limited. Our God's not limited. He can do anything. But when thou doest alms, let not whatever you do good, basically, is don't do it to be seen of men. Let not thy left hand know what your right hand's doing, that your alms may be secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, Himself shall reward thee. He won't reward you secretly. He will reward you openly. How does He reward you openly? He gives you peace that passes all understanding. He takes your cares. You can cast all your troubles on Him. He gives you provisions. He gives you a good job. He gives you whatever. Amen? He rewards you openly. Amen? I'm rewarded. I'm rewarded because I'm here this morning. Amen? And when you pray, verse 5, Romans chapter 6, and when you pray, thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Don't act like a hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. They have their reward. They have their reward. It's not much compared to what the reward God gives us. Amen? But when you pray, verse 6, when you pray, enter into your closet. Have you ever done that? I had. I thought that would be one thing to do one time. It wasn't the closet. When I first got saved, it wasn't the closet. But I couldn't get in my closet. Primary reason is I didn't have one. But where my wife and I lived, in some of the places that you would never believe. I told you I was going to shut up. Just a minute. We lived in a two-bedroom house. Some people rented that side, and my wife and I rented this side. It wasn't where we lived wasn't much bigger than this stage up here. And over on this side was a bathroom. It was about that wide. It was as wide as a bathtub is long. And when you went in there, it was pitch black. I mean, it was in the middle of the house, and it was pitch black. You had to have a light to get in there. A mother rat had her babies in our bathtub while we lived there. Our firstborn son was born when we lived there. That's where we lived. That was my prayer closet. I didn't like it too much. So enter into your closet, and then verse 7, and when you pray, and this is the Lord telling you what to do now, guys, gals, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Don't go over and over and over again. You don't have to do that as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. You're not going to be heard because of your much speaking. You're going to be heard because of the sincere, you're praying from the sincerity of your heart. And sometimes that doesn't take very long, depends on what you're praying about. So be not, verse 8, be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. But he wants you to ask, so he knows that you know that you ask him and that he's the one that provided it for you. Amen. And then Mark 4:22, and I close, and he said unto them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? No, and he says, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Think about that. There's nothing hid that will not be manifested. You can't hide anything from God. He knows everything. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Boy, I hope he doesn't. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I hope he doesn't go back all over my life and bring up all of the things that I've done since I've been a Christian. Are you with me? Verse 23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, and with what measure you pay it back or meet it, it shall be measured to you, because it shall be measured to you, and you and unto you that hear shall more be given. That's what God has to say about the secret things that nobody else may know about, except maybe some of your good friends. But there's maybe some things that they don't know about that you wouldn't even want them to know. But God says, I'll take care of all of those for you. Why? Because I love you. And I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to be embarrassed. I don't want you to be feeling upset. And I don't want you to feel like you're not loved, that I hate you. I don't want you to feel that I hate you. I want you to know that I love you so very much that I sent my son to come down here on this earth and go through all of the things that he went through so he would know. And then I've put him on the cross, I let him go to the cross, and he received lashes on his back until his skin broke and his blood run out of him. I put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. Those men did that to him. They punched a spear in his side, they spit on him, and they beat him with their fist. And he did all of that for you. He did that for you. If you were the only person, God wants you to know this. If you were the only person that ever lived, he would have died. He would have sent his son for you. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you for being here today. Pray God's blessings upon every one of you. And it's always a privilege and an honor for me to be able to come here and speak and share God's love with you, because His love and your relationship to Him is what matters. And He takes care of all of our problems. We can cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Amen? So if you have something that's bothering you, I don't care what it is, He knows about it anyway. You might as well tell Him. Lord, help me with this. Take care of this. Forgive me. Have your will done in my life. And pray for your children and your parents and your grandparents, and pray for people. God hears and answers prayer. He hears and answers your prayer. You hear me? So, Father, we thank you for this time together today. We ask that you would help us to remember some of the things that we've learned and put them in order in our lives and start putting them into practice, so that we might experience so many wonderful things that you have for us. And to cast all of our cares on you and just not let us be worried about anything, but our fears and our concerns, that we can cast all cares on you and you take care of them. You're a great God and a mighty God. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the prayers that you've already answered. We know that there's many of them that you just really answered, because some of them nobody knew anything except you, and you took care of. Thank you, Lord. We ask your blessings upon everyone as we go our separate ways. Help us to stay close to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody said, amen. God bless.